What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Local Business Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Irving, here with you for another episode of the show. Today, my guest is Vondre Smith, and we are talking Google and YouTube advertising, as well as a little ways advertising as well. This is a subject that comes up quite a bit, and we're discussing the pros and cons of Google advertising, who should YouTube advertise, and he gives you the minutiae of Google advertising. Now, listen, he doesn't go into a tremendous amount of data in analytics, so you're not going to get overwhelmed by listening to this episode of the show. If you're a, you know, a real estate agent, a local business marketer, a local business owner, small business owner, you're going to get tremendous value out of listening to Vondre talk about local business marketing via Google and YouTube. I think those are two platforms that when it comes to social media, and I'm putting air quotes up there, that people don't often think about. And Vondre makes a case for why you should be using Google and YouTube versus social media to market your local business. And he gives you the plan of exactly what to do and how to do it on this podcast episode. We also recorded this on video. So if you want, you can go over to our YouTube channel, which we'll link up in the show notes. TheBruceIrving.com is how you find those show notes. And you can go watch the video and also listen to the podcast that you're listening to right here. Hit that subscribe button. And if you're interested in our mastermind group that we have for local business owners and marketers, if you're in the local business marketing genre, our mastermind group would be good for you. Owners and operators come together. We share information. We go over ideas. I answer your questions about marketing. And also, we have two monthly calls on Zoom. It's a great place. Great people in there. If you want some if you're interested in that and you want some information, head over to thebruceirving.com/mastermind. Now, Vondre and I have been doing a few rooms in Clubhouse as well. So if you're on Clubhouse, find me on Clubhouse, Bruce Irving. Just search me. Follow me on Clubhouse. We're doing weekly Clubhouse rooms where you can come hang out with us, ask your questions. We'll answer them. There'll be going to be a lot of other people in the room that can help you with your information that you need to market your local business. Let's get into today's episode with Vondre Smith about Google and YouTube. All right, welcome back to the podcast. My friend Vondre is joining me. We're going to talk all things Google, Clubhouse probably. I have a couple questions for him about that, and all things local business marketing. Vondre, thanks so much, my friend. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, Bruce, for having me, man, dude. I'm super excited to be here, bro. Nice to see you again, man.
I know. This is great. Finally get a chance to kind of talk to you. We were in Clubhouse yesterday. We did a room together about local business marketing, which was cool. But before we get into all that marketing stuff, let's hear your background story. Because I know you worked at Google, so I'm super interested in that. But how did you get started in this whole marketing thing?
Yeah, man. So I actually got started marketing when I was 14, man. I actually started marketing for my grandparents' restaurants. Got them, you know, their followers, got them leads, got them people coming out to the restaurant. But it was a guy there that always used to come, used to work for Google, actually. He told me that, you know, he loved the stuff that I was doing for the restaurant and he wanted me to come to an interview for Google. I went to the interview for Google, ended up getting a job. I was super astounded, but I was super duper nervous, man. Like I really... couldn't understand why I even got that job or how I even got the job in the first place. So I was super nervous. Showed up to work each and every day. I'm seeing people that look nothing like me. So I just wanted to, you know, definitely just grow and scale at that place. So within the first 6 months of me working at Google, I sold $2.5 million in revenue.
Wow.
And then that got the attention of a lot of people at Google, like a lot of higher ups. So after that, they wanted to, you know, really see if I can speak to what it is that I was doing. So after they saw that I can actually talk about what it was that I was doing, they started shipping me all over the world, basically just training people on how to use Google Ads and also how to use trends to make sure that they're in front of their customers. I stayed there for about 5 years, training people all on AdWords and also on Google Trends and YouTube. And later on, started my own agency about 3 years ago named Atmosphera. Within the first year of Atmosphera, we were able to scale to six figures. And then we're just constantly growing right now, man. I actually just hired on another employee yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
So do you code or were you just doing like regular advertising through the Google platform?
So I actually picked up a little bit of code, but I'm not a coder by trade. I actually was a marketer. I actually taught people what it was they needed to do inside of their accounts to make sure that they maximize. And I also taught them what new campaigns they needed to be inside of as well. I helped launch a few pilot programs when it comes to Google Ads, like TrueView campaigns. Those are now YouTube campaigns, and also the Waze pilot as well.
Waze. Let's talk about that. Do you think Waze is a platform that people, local businesses, should be on?
Dude, everyone should be on Waze, man. You can run a Waze campaign for literally just a couple of dollars a day.
Really?
Like, you know, and it's going to be people that drive past your business. They're just getting drops on that you're a local business inside of that area. You just need to make sure that you have a viable offer that is going to show up on Waze that people are not going to want to take. So if you're a restaurant, you know, just make sure that you're showing people, you know, like that you guys sell slices of pizza. If people just don't want a full slice, if people don't want a full pizza, like you really need to put out your deals and your specials on Waze, because people are going to get those notifications as they're driving by your establishment. So while they're trying to go to their mom's house or while they're trying to go to that interview, they can easily see your pop-up on their notification while they're driving by. And it can be something that reminds them to go to your restaurant or to your store after they leave, or they can just stop by if they have a little bit of time. But make sure that you're on Waze, man, because it's another way for you to make sure that you're out there and it shows up on maps. Like, Google's going to make sure that customers are noticing you. It's a little bit different than just having a Google My Business account.
Right. Now, I'm sure that there's probably pretty good deals on advertising because there's not a lot of travel going on right now, but I'm sure that'll change in a few months.
Yeah, it'll definitely change in a few months, man. But, you know, that's where optimization comes into play. Like, that's where you really start to learn how to optimize. You're not trying to go as broad anymore. You're actually trying to speak to a specific audience.
Right. So how does someone, if they wanted to get started to advertise on Waze, what's the first thing that they should do?
Just start up a Waze account. You need to start up a Waze advertising account. After that, you're going to set up each and every one of your prompts. You're probably going to get a call from Waze. I will actually take that call. I usually tell people don't take calls from Google, but I will actually take that call. I'm actually going to tell people to take that call that actually comes from Waze, because they're going to help you when it comes to setting up your account. But when it comes to the optimization stuff, that's where you actually start to learn who your customers are. And that's where you have to use your own brain. So don't use them for the optimization part. Use Waze for when it comes to setting up your account. But literally, just set up a ad that just runs to a 10-mile radius around your business, or just you can set it up for people that are just within a few feet of your business, actually. So
really,
that can be that's actually ideal for people that are, you know, inside of a shopping mall, or people that are inside of a shopping district that are a little bit tucked off. That's actually an ideal place for them to have something out there like that, because while people are looking for a shopping store or store, or while people are looking for a Starbucks in that area, you guys can easily just show up and show that you guys are inside of that area as well.
It's probably not something that a lot of businesses use either, so there's probably a lot of opportunity there.
So a lot of big businesses actually use Waze. A lot of big businesses like Starbucks, your Macy's, your really, really big chain stores,
yeah.
A lot of those actually are already inside of Waze. You're right, man. A lot of small businesses do not use Waze because they're more so focused on being on social media. But you actually want to be on Google. You actually want to have your stuff out there on different areas, because none of your stuff is searchable on Google if you're just leaving it all on social media. So
right. You're
actually leaving a lot of your audience out there on the table. People love burgers. But if you're not in front of them showing them your burger, then they're never going to come and eat it.
So this probably, Waze is probably especially important if you are a travel destination, right? Like if you're in an area where a lot of people come from other areas to visit you and they don't really know the area, they're definitely using like Google and Maps to try to figure out where they're going.
So many people. So, man, the biggest thing is about Waze that a lot of people like, and I'm not even sure I'm supposed to talk about this, but Waze will let you know that. Waze will let you know if the police is inside of your area. So there's a lot of speed traps that police like to do. So Waze is actually really, really good for that. So a lot of millennials actually use Waze.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really a great app for you to use if you're actually a travel-based business. If you guys are inside of a tucked-off area, if you have a lot of people that travel to your area, I would actually more so recommend you using Google, because there's going to be a big crowd of people that don't use Waze if they're actually just traveling. A lot of people would just go to Google. A lot of people rely on social media when they're actually traveling. So if you're inside of an area that is pretty prominent and you're around a lot of businesses that really, and you're really, really not able to get seen, then Waze is actually going to be something that's ideal for you. So if you're inside of a shopping mall, if you're around a bunch of businesses, if you're a business that's inside of a suite, that would be ideal for you.
I love it. Now, what's a good size budget or a good budget to have for a monthly ad budget on Waze?
Oh, dude, you can run an ad. You can run an ad on Waze, dude, for like literally $50 a month, man. Like, it's really, really cheap. You don't even put too much into it, man. Like, you know, Waze is just really, really good. It has one type of offering, and it's just showing up while people are inside of your locality, while people are near your business. You can actually run a Waze campaign, dude, for like just $50, man, and get a lot of leads from it.
So it's like YouTube. So YouTube, you run ads, but it's only like when people watch your ad that you get charged. Is it Waze the same way?
So Waze is actually a little bit different. It goes off of the impression. So it goes to the amount of people that are inside of the area. So if you have, let's just say 100 people that are inside of your area and they're all using Waze to navigate to the area, then you will be charged per impression that they're giving you per person that's going by.
Okay, got it. So that's pretty good. Like, that's good information. I feel like a lot of people have had questions about Waze, and, you know, it's probably a little intimidating for them because they're not used to it like they are Facebook ads at this point.
Yeah, man, Facebook ads are good. I tell everyone, like, you know, you definitely want to have your stuff out there on Facebook. But just like I was actually telling my colleague, man, like, you know, Facebook is good for letting people see your product, letting people know about your product, seeing the proof about your product. But people are going to return and go back to Google to actually buy your product. So the amount of people that are entering their credit cards and on Facebook and also Instagram are seriously low. People go to your website, people go to Google to actually buy your products because that's where products are actually bought. People find out about your product on social media and then they go other places to actually put in their credit cards.
So Google Ads, I feel like Google Ads are a little overwhelming or intimidating. Is that the case, or are they pretty easy once you get to know or are familiar with the platform?
They're only overwhelming when you don't know what you're doing, man. So when you go towards Google Ads with a broad mindset, like people go to Facebook with, it does not turn out to be a good campaign for you because, again, you're messing with the internet. So when you go towards a Google Ads campaign and you just put something inside of the search results like real estate near me or homes for sale, then you're going to be relevant to a lot of different terms that are actually on the internet because there's a lot of homes for sale. There's a lot of topics about homes for sale. And then there's a lot of people trying to teach people how to buy their first home. So you really have put in the long tail keyword that's actually going to represent you and actually bring your perfect customer towards you. How does your customer talk? That's what you really need to understand when it comes to running a Google Ads campaign, because your customers are going to type literally the same way that they actually talk. So if you notice that your customers are looking for 3 to 4 bedrooms and you're inside of real estate, then you want to have keywords that are 3 to 4 bedroom houses for sale that are near me. You want to have those specific keywords inside of your account that are talking terms that your customers are using so that you can show it for them as they're searching for the Google results.
Long-term keyword. So describe one for us for anybody who's listening at home, who's like a business owner, like, I have no idea what that means. What is a long-term keyword?
So I'll start off. So a short tail keyword can be just restaurants near me.
Yeah.
A long tail keyword can be local restaurants that sell pizza near me.
Got it. So like, it's like more of the phrase that someone would talk about. Because like when I go to Google, I don't just Google general. I literally Google the most random stuff, but like exactly what I want.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to type in exactly what it is that you want. So you want to have that exactly inside of your account, the same way that your customers are talking. Right. And you want to have that inside of the phrase match, or you want to have it on whatever type of match the keyword that is going to be relevant to your business. If you know that your customers are saying this exact term and are not putting anything before or after it, then you want to have a keyword match type like exact match. You want to know how your customers are talking so that you're able to optimize your campaign in that same manner, because the campaigns that run the best for me are the campaigns that are just like my customers, the ones that are just like the audience that are that's out there. This campaign talks a little ghetto, so I have a campaign that's a little bit ghetto that goes towards a ghetto crowd. This crowd talks a little bit more upscale, so I have a campaign that talks to exactly what they're actually looking for. So you have to know exactly who your customers are so that you're using Google properly, because when you go to Google with a broad mindset, like I want this to show to anyone, or I want to show for this exact term, that's cool and all, but you have to build up SEO for you to show up on terms that are like that general. If you're using Google Ads, you want to show up for talking terms, terms that people are always going to use, because if you're not, you're just going to eat up your budget and barely get leads.
Yeah. And it takes a while too, right, to think of those terms that people actually use, because it's really easy to go quick and be like, all right, houses near me, or pizza near me, or restaurants near me. Like those are easy to think about. Right.
They're so easy to think about. And when you go to, you know, the keyword planner, when you go to like, you know, different tools that are out there about keywords, they're going to give you those terms because those are the highest that are usually searched. Those are the words that people usually type in when they're looking for food. But you have to know how your customers are actually out there talking. Does your customer usually just say pizza near me, or is your customer looking for local brick pizza, or is your customer looking for Detroit style pizza near me? You have to be very, very specific to what it is that you guys sell so you can actually show up for that customer. And based off of what that customer has previously looked for or actually interacted with, you have a really, really good chance for showing up for that customer off of things that are relevant to your keywords.
Right. Like, for instance, we were doing Clubhouse and we were moderating a room. So I went to Google because I wanted to like learn how to get better audio for Clubhouse, I literally typed into Google how to use my microphone for podcasting on Clubhouse. Like, that's the term I plugged into Google, you know. It was like a long-term word that wasn't just like Clubhouse audio. It was like how to use my microphone for podcasting on Clubhouse.
Now, if it was someone out there that had a product that was specifically for that, you 9 times out of 10 would have bought that product because it was something specific to what it is that you were looking for.
Right.
You may not have bought it at that first time, but if they kept remarketing to you and actually showing you that, hey, we noticed that you searched for this product can actually do exactly what you were looking for, you might as well go and get it. If they consistently remarketed to you, you 9 times out of 10 would have bought that product because it answered exactly what you were looking for.
Right. So what's a good, so we talked about a good budget for Waze, $50, you can do it minimally. What about for Google? What size budget should you have if you want to run some Google ads?
Well, this is one of the most asked questions, like literally out there, man, because no one knows what they need to spend on Google, man. Because me, myself, when I started advertising on Google for myself, I actually got leads for $100, man. But that's because I actually knew what it was I needed to do inside of Google Ads. Really figure out what it is that you want to do inside of your campaign before you actually come up with a budget, and also understand your industry. If you're a lawyer, do not go to Google and say, okay, I'm just going to do $100, because you're 9 times out of 10 not going to do too much. You're not going to do too well with just $100 inside of a search campaign. Because if you're a lawyer, your clicks are probably like $20, $50, and you have to have a substantial budget to reach out to a lot of people. And you also have to think about what industry you're in. Are you inside of an industry that everyone can do, or are you inside of an industry that's more so private? Are you inside of an industry that can have anyone actually buy into your business? So I wouldn't look at it as like, you know, what type of budget I need to get. I would look at it as like, you know, what industry am I in and what's actually going to help me reach out to my customers? Because if you have a $20 a day budget, but you're also getting $20 clicks, you're not going to show to a lot of people. You may want to raise your budget and actually get out there to a lot more people. So understand what industry you're in first before you actually go towards Google Ads, before you actually start asking, you know, like, what can a budget actually be? If you're a local business that's just trying to, you know, promote a local product, you know, $500, $300 can be a simple budget that you can put together that can actually work for you. That's $10 a day.
Yeah. Is there Google better for some businesses versus others?
I would actually say it's no better business on Google than on Facebook. I feel like everyone should be on Facebook and everyone should be on Google because, again, people are going to go to Facebook to find out about your product, to actually learn about you. And then people are going to go to Google to actually do business with you. So I feel like you should have everything that's out there, just making sure that you're in front of that audience, because your audience that's on Facebook is a little bit different than your audience that's on YouTube. But they're just alike. They're looking for different things, but they also can be the same people.
Right. Vondre, I'm gonna ask you a would you rather question. If you had to choose between Facebook and Google ads, which Google. One would you choose?
Google
easily,
because, man, Facebook shuts down, what do you have?
Nothing.
Like, literally, like, yeah. And I tell everyone, man, like, you know, I literally just dropped this, man. Like, you know, a business that is building themselves up on Facebook, on social media, and they don't have any Google presence, if a business were to be inside of their same industry and build it themselves on Google, they will crush that business, because there's apples and oranges, man. There's just more people that are on Google than more people that are on Facebook. And a lot more people trust the things that are out there on Google, if it's prominent and it's present, than the things that are on Facebook. Because, dude, it's so much gimmicky stuff on Facebook. Like, come on, like, my sister, my cousin, my brother has a Facebook, man. So there's literally so much gimmicky stuff out there on Facebook. So you have to actually have a business for you to be out there on Google. And you actually have to have some type of strategy for people to even find you on Google. So that right there says a lot about your business than just someone just showing up on social media. Social media, you know, you can be a local plumber, but a local plumber that's out there on Google is going to do a lot more, because he's actually where people are looking for plumbers at.
Right. I guess too, if you ask 10 people, right, say you take 10 people across all age ranges and you say, all right, what you take the first 10, you're like, are you on Facebook? First of all, I bet you half of them probably aren't even on Facebook. They may be on Instagram or TikTok, they're on social media on some platform, but not Facebook. But if you ask those same 10 people, hey, where do you go to search for information online? They're all going to say Google.
Yeah, they're going to say Google, or I just look for it on my phone. And what are phones usually linked to? Google, Bing. Right. They're usually linked to some type of search engine that's out there. And everyone that's out there that's running a Google Ads campaign, make sure that you have a campaign that's out there on Bing as well. I tell a lot of my clients, like, you know, there's a certain crowd that's out there that are on Bing that do not use Google. And because Google has a lot of advertising hacks, people actually more so go towards Bing. People actually go towards DuckDuckGo. So you want to make sure that you're inside of several different search engines and making sure that you're in front of your customers with that offer, because the more that you're out there, the more citations that your business has, it's the more prominent that you are out there on the internet. And I'm very, very big on choking out competition. Like, you know, so that's a really, really great way for you to choke out your competition by you honing on to the internet and not letting it breathe.
Now, is Bing similar to Google when it comes to advertising?
Dude, you can import your Google Ads campaign directly into Bing.
So you set it up on Google and then just import it right into Bing and just hit start?
Yeah, just like literally like that, man. Like, you know, it brings over the same keywords. You may have to do a little bit when it comes towards the optimizations and stuff like that. Like, they don't allow all of the extensions that Google has, but, you know, Google's Google. You know, Google's been out there for several years. Right. You know, Google's been out there advertising since the 2000s with Me Too. So you really have to look at the optimizations, but you can bring over your campaign directly from Google into Bing and just start running it right then and there. Same budget and all.
That's crazy. That's great. That's good information. Now, what about YouTube? Do you have any experience with YouTube ads?
So, man, I was actually the guy that was pushing YouTube ads before YouTube ads were actually very, very popular.
Really?
I'm big on video, man. Like 90% of the ads that I actually run are all video. I'm a cinematographer, man. Like, dude, like I have my camera right here, man.
That's
like,
awesome.
Videos are something that really, really captures the essence of a company, and you spend time with that business while you're actually on that video. Like, you know, you're like, we're sitting down talking to each other right now.
Yeah.
We feel like we know each other a little bit more. And same thing if you're watching someone that's on video, you feel like you know a little bit more about the company. You feel like you actually trust this company a little bit more. And the more that you see that commercial or the more that you see that person, is the more that you're going to want to start to listen in on what their offer actually is. What is their actual offer? Because, you know, you may skip past this guy's ad, you know, five different times, but on that sixth time, you're gonna say, okay, what's this guy talking about? You know, why am I always constantly seeing this guy? Like, what is he talking? What is he telling me this stuff for?
Right.
And then you're gonna want to know a little bit more about what's there. You know, that's how I actually got onto Billie Jean. You know, it was him constantly showing up with ads and me constantly seeing this dude, and it was just one day, like, okay, man, I got $500.
Yeah, what okay, is this? Bro. I've seen you 500 times. Let's get going here.
Yeah, man, let's just go ahead and do some business, man. And I ended up actually paying that dude $7,000 last year, man, to actually coach me. So, you know, stuff like that is actually, like, you know, it's useful, man. Like, you know, the more that you see someone and the more that they show up speaking to exactly what you need, it's the better you're going to be out there, man. Like, you know, if you're a local, I know that's very, very hard for a lot of restaurants to think like, you know, okay, we're a restaurant. How can someone actually need me? Right. Everyone and their mom eats, bro. You just have to create the scenario for that person to actually want your food. So if you're a restaurant that sells upscale food, okay, how can you create a scenario that will make people want your upscale dinner? How can you create a scenario that kind of creates a private essence for your chef getting inside of this person's home and actually cooking some food? You have to really create that scenario for your people to think about for you to actually sell to them, because no one's going to buy something that they have to put together. That's like buying air. No one's going to go out and buy air. It has to be bottled. It has to be labeled. And it has to give them instructions on how they're actually going to use this.
Right. And so once you get past the creative of the video itself, is it easy to set up a YouTube campaign for advertising around your area?
Oh, yeah. Dude, you can set up a Google Ads campaign, like, you know, super, super simple, man. You can set it up for 10 miles around your area. Literally just put in the address of your establishment, 10 miles around my area. Put in a few demographics. If you know that your customers are homeowners, if you know your customers are renters, if you know that your customers are looking for restaurants, you can do that inside of your demographics. And also you can target people that are looking for certain things on YouTube as well. So if you have a pizza kit and you notice that you have a lot of customers that are looking to, you know, create their own deals and you create their own dishes and stuff like that, that will be a ideal search for you to show up on. You showing up with your pizza kit while people are looking for things to make inside of their home, while people are looking for tasty videos and stuff like that. Like, those are ideal videos that you want to be on if you have a pizza kit, because those are your ideal customers. They're looking for things to do inside of their home. Like, I tell everyone, like, you want to introduce your product while people are having the conversation. You don't want to change the conversation to your product, because you're going to have a lot of rapport. You're going to have a lot of pushback. Join the conversation with your product so that people can see how your product can actually flow into their life.
Yeah. And plus, like, we're in a time now, if you're listening to this when it comes out, it's 2021. We just went through 2020. And a lot of the people obviously are at home, and there's a lot of cord cutting going on where they're cutting away from cable and they're moving more towards internet and subscription based services like YouTube in order to get their entertainment.
I'm going to tell you something, man. Google ads, when you run YouTube ads, they actually show up on TV. So back in 2018, man, like they introduced them actually showing up on TV. And then throughout time, they've just been adding on different TV programs where they actually can show up on. So if you're running YouTube ads, man, you actually have a chance to show up inside of TV, while people are sitting down watching podcasts, while people are sitting down watching the news. You actually have a chance for showing up while people are actually streaming on these devices on their TVs.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, because I think that's very valuable. And I don't see, you know, I'm on YouTube a lot because I have it kind of playing in the background sometimes while I work. And I don't necessarily hear a lot or any local business ads on there.
Barely. Yeah. You barely see them, man. And it's so crazy, bro. And you really need to get your business out there. Like, you know, YouTube is not just for the guy that's showing up, showing his Ferrari off. YouTube is not just for, you know, someone trying to sell a course. You know, YouTube is for businesses that are trying to get in front of their customers. Like, if you're inside of a fashion business, figure out what it is that your customers listen to. Figure out what type of music your customers listen to and create a video that can flow into those type of videos. You want to be very, very specific inside of your strategy when it comes to anything on Google, because it's the internet that you're messing with. You have to be very specific and really know who your customers are so that you can create a message that's actually going to resonate with them.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of industries like real estate for me feels like a really easy, as a marketer and someone who does marketing, I feel like real estate could be really disrupted if you use Google at Google and YouTube, because a lot of real estate agents are super boring.
Yeah, they really are. And so if you're a real estate agent that's like,
you know, no offense to real estate agents out there.
No, you're boring. We're just going to say it. So, like, you know, there are. So really, man, like you. A lot of real estate, and the problem that I see a lot when it comes to real estate people is, I want to be professional. Like, you know, I want to code this professionalism. You know, I have to sound like this. I have to sound like, right, you know, a certain way. But, you know, you don't have to do that, because your customers, yeah, they want the professionalism. Yeah, they want someone that can actually sell their home. But if you really look at the people that are killing it inside of real estate, those guys are wearing gym shoes. Those guys are, you know, wearing T-shirts with their suits. Those guys are somewhat professional, but they have a swag to what it is that they actually do. So you have to bring it in with your personality. You have to show people who you are. If you're a boring person, be that boring person, but show people that you're that boring person that actually has knowledge. Right. Like, you can be who you are on the internet. You just have to show people, and you have to resonate with people that are just like you. You know, right, not everyone, like I'm a very exciting person. I don't resonate with people that, you know, want someone that's quiet, want someone that's, you know, a little bit subtle. I'm not that guy. But there are other people out there that you can resonate with that are looking for someone like that to talk to them calmly, because I'm a go-getter. I'm a dog. I'm going to be in your face. So I'm not soft at all. People are out there that are looking for those type of people that can actually give them those type of talks, or people that can actually connect with them on their level. There are people out there that are for you, but you just have to be in front of that audience.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that, you know, there's opportunity for Google and for YouTube for people to, in any industry, to kind of leverage those, because now's the time to do it. There's a lot of people going to YouTube, and there's a lot of people looking for video and entertainment online and information. So it's the time to do it.
Yeah. And we're in a day and age where everyone barely even listens to the radio. So you're like, you know, when we go get inside of your car, your phone's usually hooked up to your car already. So you're probably on YouTube watching something. You're probably on a podcast or Amazon Music or whatever. You're on some type of app and you're using it to basically not listen to the radio. So make sure that you have advertisements out there on these different platforms that are going to get you in front of people. Like, you know, even with traditional marketing that's out there, like, you know, when it comes to sending people flyers, have something on there that can get people inside of your digital campaign, or that can ramp you up online, because people are out there. They just need a way to connect with you.
Yeah. What about, let's get into real quick before we wrap it here, because I know I said 30 minutes for you. What about Clubhouse? What are your thoughts on Clubhouse?
Dude, I freaking love Clubhouse and I'm addicted to it, man. Like, I probably should not inject Clubhouse my blood as much as I do. But yeah, man, Clubhouse is, like, you know, freaking awesome, man. I honestly feel like, you know, Clubhouse is that app where there were a lot of, you know, like a lot of fluff on social media as far as, like, you know, followers and stuff like that. Yeah. I feel Clubhouse literally killed a lot of that, because I see people on there that have never had an Instagram before, but they show up with so much knowledge, man. So there are people out there that spend time actually running their businesses besides getting on social media. Don't take them as not an expert because they don't have 50,000 followers. Right. Those people were out there building up other people's businesses. Like, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, before he ever got out there, he spent time building up something else so he can be great. So same thing that other people are doing. Other people like me, it took me a while for me to even be on social media, but I spent time growing other businesses. I was out there growing other businesses. And social media, even though that I'm young, it was never something that I really, really looked at as like, you know, something to really grow my business until, you know, I started looking at what I was doing for my clients. And I was like, I should start probably doing this for myself. So, you know, that right there, like, you know, it's out there, but you just have to look for the person that resonates with your business. Like, you know, I was able to make sales on my account at just 300 followers because I showed up knowing what it was that I was talking about. I knew what it was that I needed to do. I wasn't guessing. I'd done this before.
Yeah. I like, you know, the thing I like about Clubhouse is that it's very easy to fake a photo. I don't want to say fake, but it's very easy to edit a photo or edit a video for Instagram to get more likes than it is to actually show up in a room and talk, right? Like, you can tell pretty quick if someone's full of shit on Clubhouse and they don't know what the hell they're talking about, or if they faked their whole career on Instagram, like, just by hearing them talk.
Dude, you can clearly hear if someone was on the bandwagon of someone else that was growing a company and they were just a little footnote that was inside of that company. Like, you can really, really hear it, man, because you hear a lot of people that say, like, you know, oh, we grew this company to $50,000 or $50 million, but what did you do inside of that campaign that actually got them to that $50,000? Or was it other people that was inside of that campaign that got it to $50,000?
Right.
Like, you know, I've worked with different companies and we've grown companies to from 2 employees to 70 employees. Like, you know, I'm not going to say that I did that all by myself, but the campaigns that I built out helped us do that. So I can put out there what it was that I learned while doing that because I have that experience. Yeah. No one that has been inside of that business or ever has done any of that stuff before is never going to be able to show up and actually speak to any of those things because they've never seen it done. They've just watched people do it.
Yeah. And I think, that's what I like about Clubhouse too, is like networking, right? Like, don't look at the follower count of people. Yeah. Hop into rooms that maybe aren't even in your industry. Like, I go into a lot of real estate rooms because there's a lot of cool people talking about marketing and I'm not even in real estate.
I've jumped inside of real estate rooms. I've jumped inside of mindset rooms, dude. I've jumped inside of just rooms that can actually help me grow mentally, physically, and just help me grow overall, man. Because if we just spend time just basically giving and we're not getting, then we're not going to be a good giver. You know, you have to receive to give. So if you're not getting fed by anyone that's out there giving you the material that you need to basically put inside of your own, then you're not giving the proper knowledge out to the people because you have to read. You have to consistently learn. If you're not learning, you're not able to give people the information that they need.
Right. You're on Clubhouse. What's your name on Clubhouse?
Devondre Smith. Same thing as everywhere else. Devondre Smith.
We did a room yesterday as we're recording this podcast, but if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out, it happened a couple weeks ago. But we did a room on Clubhouse that was about local business marketing, which we'll probably do more of. We were talking about that afterwards and behind the scenes that maybe once a week we'll do some sort of local business marketing room. So if you're on Clubhouse, it's iOS invite only as of the time we're recording this podcast, but I'm sure it's going to open up soon and everybody will be able to get in there. I don't have any invites left, but maybe that'll change. So you can email me, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. Maybe I'll have an invite for you if you're listening to the podcast. Devondre actually got me into Clubhouse, so I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
I have two invites for people that are actually going to show up and do something on the app. I don't want to send out an invite to someone that's just going to be a Scrooge and just like not really show up. I only try to give out invites to people that are actually going to show up and be actionable on an app. So if you're someone that's looking for a way to get yourself out there, but you're not really being seen on social media, reach out to me, man. I'll help you out.
And what's your who does your marketing is your Instagram handle, right?
So that's my agency's Instagram handle. My Instagram handle is Devondre Smith.
Okay. We'll link that up in the show notes. Where else should they go? Do you have a website that people can go to, or how do they get in touch with you if they have some more questions for you?
Yeah. So if you're looking to connect with me, you can go to my website, My Atmosphera, or if you're looking to set up a meeting with me, just go to getmybusinessoutofthe90s.com.
That's a great URL. I love that. Oh, man, that's fantastic. We'll link that up in the show notes as well. Devondre, thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for joining me. I'm sure I'll see you on Clubhouse right after this recording's over. And if you're listening to the podcast when it comes out, go hop over to Clubhouse. I'm sure you'll find us in there as well. Devondre, thanks so much, my friend.
Dude, thank you for having me, Bruce. You're awesome, man.
All right, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Thanks to Devondre for sharing that great information with us all. head over to thebruceirving.com. We'll link up Vondre's Instagram, his website, how you can get a hold of him if you need to have a question or you want to reach out to Vondre for some more information about what he does and how he can help you. Again, follow me on Instagram. I am at thebruceirving. If you want some information about our mastermind group, thebruceirving.com/mastermind. And if you want to hang out with us on Clubhouse, follow me there. I am Bruce Irving on Clubhouse. We're going to be doing, if you're listening to this episode when it comes out live, we're going to be doing a show this weekend all about social media for local businesses. So watch out for that one. All right. Thank you all so much for hanging out with me here on the podcast. If there's anything I can ever do to you, go over to our website, thebruceirving.com, hit that contact button and let me know if you have a question or a topic or a suggestion for a future podcast episode. Until then, we'll see you next week.